listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Pharmacy Success Strategy Series, a podcast dedicated to exploring success, customer service, and team development in independent pharmacy. I'm your host, Patty Mara, author of the book, Up Solutions, Turning Teams into Heroes and Customers into Raving Fans. Each episode will cover one chapter from Up Solutions while featuring an in-depth conversation with a leading pharmacy owner, sharing their wisdom, challenges, and insights, all gained while positioning for growth and success in challenging market conditions. Join us as we delve into the secrets behind building a successful pharmacy, creating immense value for customers, and fostering a workplace where team members grow and excel. I'm delighted to have a very special guest. Now, of course, who I'm talking to are really industry transformers. These are pharmacy owners that have gone beyond dispensing in their pharmacy and have created success by literally identifying what their patient needs, how to provide that, how to make a difference in their community. So today we're going through chapter 3, which is the wisdom and experience in your business, specifically tapping into the talent of your team and why that's so important in your pharmacy. And joining me is Jay Phipps with Phipps Pharmacy. So Jay, first of all, I want to say thank you for being on the podcast with me. And please just kind of introduce yourself. Talk a little bit about Phipps Pharmacy, where your pharmacy is located, and what's really your focus. I love your byline, but give me a little bit of a sense of what's your focus with pharmacy.
Well, first of all, Patty, I'm super excited to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our pharmacy and the successes that we're having. I'm a pharmacist in West Tennessee. I have 4 pharmacies in Tennessee, 1 in Middle, 3 in West, and then I have a pharmacy in South Haven, Mississippi as well. Added the new state in December of 22. And so a little bit about myself. I went to school at the University of Tennessee, the only school, only college of pharmacy at the time, did a residency in drug information. My experience was hospital-based. I had never worked in a community pharmacy until I had the opportunity during my residency to open a pharmacy. And when I did, that's all I've ever done then since. I opened a pharmacy in 2000 and have expanded out of 5. The only person I've ever worked for as a pharmacist is myself. I had a couple partners for a couple years, and they were great guys, but we decided to part ways, and so I've been on my own ever since. Have a great team around me, but as far as the employer, I've been my employer since I've been a pharmacist.
Fantastic. And what are some of the things that set Phipps Pharmacy apart?
You mentioned our tagline. Our tagline is the cure for the common drugstore. So we really try to be different. And it's all up to me. It's about relationships. Pharmacy is about a relationship business, as is most business. I think what sets us apart is that we build that relationship, that trust, that level of care. And then that sets us apart. So people depend on us and trust us for their healthcare needs, as well as other things in their community, because we're there when they're on their ups and their downs. We celebrate their victories, and we're there when they're sad. And to me, that's the difference in our pharmacy and the other ones in our communities.
Fabulous. Thank you, Jay. And I appreciate you joining us. We're going to really dive into some of the unique things you've done to create a culture in your Phipps Pharmacy stores. And the premise of this chapter is that anyone who has worked in your pharmacy for 3 months or more is an expert compared to your patients. And another way of saying that is your patients don't even know the questions to ask to make effective decisions, to make decisions in their best interest. So they're really relying on the team paying attention to their needs and making recommendations. And as you said, relationship, having conversations. You know, a community pharmacy is not a transactional business. It's very much a relationship business. If they want transactions, and some people really just want transactions, then those are the chains. Mm-hmm. But what differentiates community pharmacy is really the care you have for the people in your community. So let's talk about, you've got a unique way of setting up your team as experts. So if everyone in every team member in your pharmacy is an expert compared to your customers, Jay, what are some of the ways that you have to set your team up so they feel that they're an expert and that the patients relate to them as experts?
Great question. And I'll say one thing about that I enjoyed about your book and really the program is that you say things that I say every day in your program. And it allowed us to codify that, to put it out there so that we can have that consistent language, because the people that work the counter with me, they're comfortable using my language. And as we've gotten bigger, it's become more challenging to make sure that everybody uses the same things. And so really Hub Solutions allowed us to have that playbook for, to use a football term, so that we can communicate with each other. To me, we're the first thing that I remember repeating consistently as a pharmacy owner is that give patients what they need, not what they ask for. And I say that almost every day that I work. And it's the same whether you're in our pharmacy or in a restaurant, or if you're a business coach, you want to give people what they need, not what they ask for. And the way that we work that around is we try to set our team up for success. We make sure that they're experts in an area, and we'll relate patients back to that expert. So, for example, if a patient calls and asks to speak to the pharmacist, they get me and they say, hey, I just need to know if my furosemide's time to be refilled or my lisinopril. I may take the call and write that down. But before we get done, whoever transferred the call to me, I'm going to let that patient know that employee, that team member is the expert. So if you're the person that transfers that call to me, did you know that Patty's an expert in that area? She actually can help you better and faster than I can. So there's no reason for you to hold for me. I'd be glad to talk to you, but she'll be able to take a lot better care of you than I can. And then that trains our patients to have trust in our team members, and therefore they relate back to them. And it's built that relationship where the whole team is building relationships with the patient rather than just the pharmacist. I think a lot of times pharmacy owners want to be that go-to person. They want to get all those calls. To me, from day one, I'm fine being that person, but I did not have to be. I do not have an ego. I want everyone else to live in that and be comfortable enough to take care of people. And so I build them up. I use the word expert all the time, and to make sure that our team's comfortable and our patients are comfortable as well.
Fabulous. You've said a couple things in that, Jay, I really want to emphasize. So that's the awareness. You started with one store, but you now have five, and you couldn't be the expert in order to have five stores. If you want to expand the impact beyond that, you're doing everything, every call comes to you, you have to build that team of experts. And as you said, that whoever answered the call, whether it was a tech or maybe even a cashier, probably a tech, because there'll be someone in the pharmacy that can look up in the pharmacy software what the patient information is. So that they can answer that question, that they are actually the expert and can take care of you better than I could. So you don't need to wait on hold for me. So you said a couple things that are really important. One is that you set your team up as the expert. And we're going to tap in a little bit. How do you train them so they feel like they're the expert? Because that's also a key piece.
Absolutely.
And then you reinforce with patients. It's almost like we train everyone around us how to interact with us. You know, it's kind of like if every project that you hand out to your team comes back to you, you're not delegating. It's called reverse delegation. And you train them to come back to you. If every patient calls and has to speak to you as the owner, you've trained them that you're it. And while that's good for the ego, as you said, it's also limiting for growth and the impact you can have. So the other thing I want to unpack a little bit is I loved what you said, that paying attention, you're providing what the patient needs, not necessarily what they ask for. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I think that's a really pivotal point.
Yeah, and that goes back to, I'm going to give a non-healthcare example to begin with. Recently, I had my vehicle serviced, and the company servicing my truck, changing the oil, noticed that the headlight was out. And so they changed it for me, which was great. They saw what I need. They didn't notice that the running light was out. They didn't pay full attention. So they changed one of the lights on my truck. You have to take the entire grill off the truck to work on it. So it's an hour process for them to do that. But they didn't give me exactly what I needed. They thought they were going to, but you have to look at the whole picture. So in healthcare, people come in and they'll ask for, you know, a medication. What they really need is a solution. they're looking for a medication, and it may be their medication, it may not be. They may be talking about having leg cramps, and then the more conversation you have, and they're saying, hey, I need something for leg cramps. Well, if they're on a statin and they're not on coenzyme Q10, maybe that's the issue, or things along that nature. So you're really looking at how the whole picture. You have to listen, attentively listen, not just hear the words they say, but the meaning behind the words, and then really give them, set them up for success. And that's challenging to train because it's a situational thing. You have to have enough situations for people to be able to learn and grasp so that, and then apply. But to me, it's essential to be successful as a pharmacist. If all you're going to do is repeat what's in facts and comparison or some database, ChatGPT will take our jobs. But if you're actually assimilating information for all kinds of areas, putting it together and then giving patients what they need, there, that's the real value I think that community pharmacy provides that you can't get, as you mentioned earlier, I call it assembly line healthcare. The chains provide great assembly line healthcare. They're really good at that. That's not what I think we're okay at that, but that's not my expertise. My expertise is in taking care of the challenging situations, the things, people that don't fit in that box that our current healthcare system has in the chain environment.
Yes, absolutely. Well said, Jay, that it's really, it's paying attention to who the customer are. What did the team know about the customer when they walk in? The reason that your team members are experts compared to your patients after working in your pharmacy for 3 months, because they're working day in and day out. Mm-hmm. They're having a lot of those experiences. Hopefully they're being trained by other team members. But by 3 months, they've had a lot of interactions. They've had more interactions in 3 months than the patient will have maybe in their lifetime.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's not like they're an expert that they'll never learn anything else. We're always, always learning. But compared to the patients, paying attention to who the patients are. If they come in, as you said, on a statin medication, what else might they need that they have no idea to even ask about?
Absolutely. And if you think about it, patients that pick up 4 prescriptions a month, 15 minutes at a time, they're in the pharmacy an hour a month at most, 12 hours a year. You know, it does not very many hours in a lifetime. And you're right, your person, when they're just developing the, after their first month, they've already spent as much time as that patient is going to spend in their lifetime. And for sure, in 3 months, they are by far going to know more than any patient will know about our system and what we can provide for them, and then be able to analyze what they need and get them the solution that they need.
Yeah, I was thinking of an example that a pharmacy owner shared with me, that he was in the pharmacy and a patient came in upset. She was had been prescribed an antibiotic and mm-hmm. had a lot of challenges on it. She had a lot of side effects and couldn't take, just felt like she couldn't stomach mm-hmm. the antibiotic. So she asked for a refund. Now the owner happened to be there. He said, well, we don't normally refund medication. I'm here, so I can make that decision and I will do that for you. And as he's, ringing up and refunding the antibiotic, he said, if you'd taken a probiotic with this at the same time, you probably wouldn't have experienced those side effects. And the reason he was sharing this is the woman's response was, I wish somebody had told me that. That's not on the patient. That's on the team, whoever dispensed that antibiotic. The fact that you would dispense it without making a recommendation of a probiotic, set them up for failure.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree. And I've had many patients over the years, they'll come in looking for a cough medication and you go out and in that evaluation period, it's not just tell them where the cough medicine is. You ask them what's going on, what kind of cough, how long has it been going on? Multiple people that we've been on ACE inhibitors having cough related to the ACE inhibitor, and they're wanting to buy cough medicine when in all reality is they just need to change their drug therapy. They're not on the right drug for them. And so, yes, it's really keeping your eyes open and stepping back and doing that 1,000-foot view rather than caught up in the trees. If you get caught up in the weeds, you'll never be able to see that. And so that's really having that focus on where that solution needs to be.
Yeah, very good. So, Jay, what are some of the different ways that you have of how do you set your team up so that they feel like they're the expert? They're having those conversations with patients. They're paying attention and looking for what the needs are, not just what they're asking for.
we start early on, I think in the hiring process, even we interview our senior technicians, our pit crew, we call them, pharmacy implementation team, because no race car runs without a pit crew and no pharmacy runs without a pit crew. So our pit crew, those technicians do interviews for all technician jobs or clerk jobs. So we start early so that they feel comfortable. They come in, they spend a couple weeks working at our original location, the one that I have my fingerprint on, the one that I have had the most experience in, spent the most time. They spend a couple of time there learning about culture and how do we take care of people and what do we do when they show up on Friday afternoon. They're riding, using public transportation and can't get home. We can't get a hold of the doctor and they're not able to get their medication before the weekend's over. How do we handle those things? And what do we look at? And so it really starts early and we try to get them engaged with patients. We work with them to follow up when they go on to whatever location they're going to work at, that they have some of the team members that train them follow up to make sure that they're comfortable in their new location. And I spent a lot of time talking about being pharmacy gladiators. We're passionate and relentless and trying to conquer the Colosseums in our community. And to be that, to be in that arena, you have to make sure you're comfortable and trained. You can show up in an arena to fight, but if you've not done any training, you're going to fail. And so we have to, we do that training on the front side. The other thing that we work hard on is trying to find people the right position on the bus. We've got a technician in our Jackson location, Angelique. She's a great technician. She came in and she was working the counter beside me one day, and we were having fun, having a great time. When I've got time, we cut up and act. I'm a joke player. I play jokes on everybody, and we were laughing, having a great time. And she went. Somebody pulled up to the drive-thru. I said, "Will you get the drive-thru?" She said, "Yes." Yeah. She went over there and she went, "Can I help you?" She walked back over. I'm like, "Angelique, what's up with that? What's going on?" She said, "I was using my professional voice." I said, "I don't know. That's your professional voice." And so we talked about the way that it sounded and how to address people. And as time went on, we realized that she really was very introverted. Her skill set, she was very detail oriented and she was somewhat introverted. So we put her in our compounding lab and she's excelled. She's been phenomenal. She is the expert in that area. A year and a half ago, if you'd asked her about compounding, she'd be like, "Oh, that sounds exciting, but I don't know." And then we put her in the right seat on the bus. So we found the right position for her. And so we try to do that with everybody because not everybody's going to fit in our mold of where we think they need to go. So if they can fit in our culture, in our team, then we try to find that location for them and trying to be open-minded about where they're going to end up just because we hired her as a retail tech. Well, that's not really where she was best suited in our team. And to me, you know, it's about culture and you have to build that right culture. And culture isn't about that everybody fits into, you know, not everybody's going to fit in our culture. It's a litmus test. Our culture is a litmus test to see if you fit in, that's wonderful. If you don't, we wish you well and we want people to do a really great job wherever they're at. But our culture is a little different than some. A lot different than some. Not very many pharmacies go around doing, you know, when somebody does something right, doing two claps and a Ric Flair, and we do that all the time. Woo! That kind of stuff. And that's just our team culture and mentality. And we work really hard to make sure that the people fit into that culture and find the right place in the culture and where do they perform the best.
That's great. That's like you bring to mind Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. Mm-hmm. Find the right people for the bus, your culture, they fit and they, you know, your core values, your vision, your mission, your culture, and then where are they in the right seat in the bus?
Right.
It's literally a two-step. I love the book, Top Grading too, Brad Smart. He talks about A players, B players, and C players, and A players are the right fit and they have the right skill set. They have the right attitude. You literally just need to put them in place and they're going to figure it out. They're going to be proactive. And B players are potentially a fit, but you have to manage them for results.
Yeah.
And C players are disengaged, whether that they're actively disengaged or they're disengaged because they're not the right skill set, they're not the right cultural fit. And the key is that I think everyone deserves to be an A player. And just because they're not an A player for your team, they will be an A player somewhere else. Your job is to make sure you're hiring people that are the right fit, are A players for your team. Because, of course, the challenge is A players will not stay in an environment where they have to work with B and C players.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we lose our right. critical team members if we don't keep an environment that's for the culture. Now, Jay, what are some of the things? I love when you're talking about your culture. I love your, you know, celebrating team, right? And, mm-hmm. and you have language around this, you know, the pharmacy gladiators. And, you really feel like you're part of a team. What are some of the ways that you really reinforce the culture? You talked about joking, but you also, I noticed in your example that you're joking, but you're also paying attention. And when something wasn't a fit, having that corrective conversation in a way that was supportive and growing, not punitive, right? So right. What are some of the other ways that you have that you really support and create that culture with your team?
First of all, I'll say I've grown as a leader. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would have been annoyed at that conversation at the register, and I would have never said anything until one day I said something I shouldn't, most likely. You know, like, why are you taking care of them that way? It would have been punitive. Mm-hmm. So I've learned to coach on an interaction basis rather than, you know, at a yearly basis. We do a yearly evaluation, but that's not where coaching happens. And it takes a lot of turns to get things correct. And a lot of times we expect people to get it right the first time. I'm a big football fan. The average team will practice a play 20 to 25 times perfectly in practice before they'll run it in a game. And we expect to show our team members one time how to do something and expect them to get it right that first time. That doesn't happen. Doesn't matter if you're the NFL or if you're in the Little League. They do it over and over and over. And we have to do that. We have to kind of guide them and get them in the right place and push them, you know, gently in the right direction. So we have, a unique culture. We have a lot of fun, but we're also serious that we're taking care of people. When there are people in the pharmacy, we don't talk about what's going on in our lives. We're talking about what's going on in that patient's life. We're talking about engaging them to get them interested and involved. We're caring about them. We're not talking about what we're doing on the weekend with patients in the store. Now, if they ask me what's going on this weekend, I'll communicate with them. I'll talk to them, but I'll ask them about them, and I'll know about their dog and their cat and their kids and what's going on in their family and everything that's going on with that. And I'll listen to them. Sometimes my team sometimes thinks too long, but to me, the most important patient's the one in front of you. Would say that on a daily basis. It doesn't matter if there's 25 people behind them or if there's nobody behind them. The one in front of you is the most important. So take good care of them. And then people will wait in line if you'll take good care of them. So a little bit more about the culture. A few years ago, we were trying to schedule a Christmas party. And I asked my team, at that time we had two stores, and I said, let's get a Christmas party. And they're like, I don't want to have a Christmas party. I don't want to get together. So, and that's really what the conversation was. I'm like, let's have a Christmas party. No, they didn't want to. So I'm like, all right, we won't. And then I spent months thinking about that interaction. And I decided I was going to change the culture and either they were going to fit or they would not. And we became much more family-oriented, I think, as far as our team. And they've joined or coalesced much better since we've done that. And so we do some events every year. We have at least three get-togethers. We do in the winter, late winter, we do a Phipps Pharmacy Forum where we get together and do educational things. Our technicians present, pharmacists present, and we learn what's going on. We have, you're wearing, if you're seeing the video version of this, Patty's wearing a Phipps-a-Palooza shirt. We have Phipps-a-Palooza at my house every year where we have our team come to the house. We'll have water jumpers and horse rides. We've had comedians come, and we've had people that have been in the Olympics come be our keynote. So we've had some great get together and have a cookout. And then we do our Christmas party where everybody gets together with their families, and Santa comes in and gives out gifts to the small children of the team members. So to me, what that done is that's built that relationship where we can count on each other. We know each other more on a personal level. We huddle at least weekly, depending on the location. And if we huddle once a week, we spend the first few minutes talking about something that's went on in their life. whether it's personal, whether it's, you know, a good thing or a bad thing. We've had people cry because they've broken up with their boyfriend. We've had people cry because a family member's died. We've celebrated because people's family members have gotten married or had children and that kind of thing. So it's celebrating life, and that's one of our core values, is that we celebrate the victories of others with the same intensity as we do our own. So that's where the two claps and a Ric Flair comes in, is that we're really celebrating what's going on in our team members' lives, and we're there for them when it's not going good. So to me, as we built that moment when I decided we're going to change the way we do our business, we're changing our culture, it's really propelled our company. We were about 12 people at the time. Now we're at 50. We're talking 3 years ago. So this has not been a long process, but it really changed everything that we do and the way that we think about things. And it's really, it's allowed people to step up and be leaders where I don't have to be the only leader. We've got people that are leading and rising people up to the same level. And to me, it's been really exciting to watch that evolution happen.
Yes, Jay, thank you. So lots of gold nuggets in what you just shared. The first one I really want to focus on is your comment that you had to develop yourself as a leader in order to develop your team.
Right.
I only work with entrepreneurial businesses, and part of that's because it takes courage to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. It actually takes courage to be an entrepreneurial team member because you have to be responsive. Everyone in an entrepreneurial business is connected to the customer, the patient, and the outcomes of the business, every single person. And not everyone's comfortable with that. It's like you're playing on the court of life. Mm-hmm. And you get instant feedback. This is working, this is not working. And that's not always comfortable. So it's almost like your business becomes a reflection of what's working and what you need to work on. Mm-hmm. Right. And right. So I really acknowledge and appreciate and acknowledge you for the recognition and the growth that you've seen going from 12 to 50, because mm-hmm. you're empowering other people. But it started with you taking a stand for what is your culture? What do we stand for? And then people may fit or may not. I'm sure you went through a transition with your team at that point.
Right. We did.
Which is not comfortable either.
You know, growth is not always comfortable.
No.
But you have to be accountable. You have to be accountable for the actions. And ultimately, no matter who it is, if it's a brand new employee or if it's me, I'm responsible and accountable for all their actions. My name's on the door. I'm the one that's accountable for what happens. And so if they fail in an activity, it's because I didn't provide them the tools that they needed to be successful. And so it's about being accountable. And it's taken a long time as a leader to get that way. Yeah. And there's times when I fail. And days, but yeah, it's about seeing the vision of where you want them to be. It doesn't matter where they wanted to be. You have to guide them there. I call it guided discovery. Our organization needed it to grow. And I say, stay comfortable for a little while going, well, they don't want to go there, so I'm not going to make them. Well, you finally have to have that vision and enough passion to talk to them and encourage them and really go through the growth pains of not everybody's going to fit. Not, you know, that litmus test is not for everybody. And it's really, but it's brought together a better team. You know, it's a lot more A players. The C players are gone because nobody wants a C player.
Yeah, fantastic. I love it. And the other thing I hear in what you're talking about is how engaged your team is. By defining that culture, what does it mean to be part of having good communication, having events that bring the team together? You know, you've got fun T-shirts, you've got Phipps Pharmacy that people can feel proud being out in the community that they're part of the Phipps Pharmacy team. So you've done a really great job of branding, not just the culture, but also having a visual that reinforces that this, hey, you're part of something important and special here.
Absolutely. And one of the key things to that I just recalled, you forget about it, things as I go on, is that at that same time, we went to everyone wearing the same color. Everybody on the team, from clerks through technicians, are all in blue scrub, royal blue scrubs every day. And my thing is, you know, I'm in Tennessee. We're big University of Tennessee fans. And Josh Heupel, the football coach there, doesn't let some of them wear orange jerseys today, and some of them wear white, and some of them wear gray. They all look exactly alike. So if you want to be on Team Phipps, you're going to be in blue. The pharmacist will wear professional attire with a lab coat. I don't force a lab coat. That's up to them and their patient relationship and how they are. But all the members to the team all look the same. And so when you walk in, you see that, and it makes them feel more part of the team. And when they go to the grocery store, when work is over, people know it and realize that. When we're at the ball game and I show up in my scrubs, or I had a county commission meeting this week and I'm there in my scrubs because I wear scrubs most days. And you see that, and it's just part of that team. And to me, it's good enough for professional football teams, should be good enough for us. It's that branding, and you want to make sure your brand's out there every day.
Yeah, and that branding is important for the team cohesiveness, mm-hmm. as it is for the patient interacting with the team.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, love it. So a key piece of all of this investing in the culture, developing yourself as a leader, one of the things is like being in uncomfortable situations. There's having grace with yourself as you go through the challenges of growth. And you shared this in your story with your tech, is also having grace with the tech to have the conversations that might be uncomfortable, but you must give yourself permission to have straight conversations and acknowledging what is working and why you appreciate them, while also talking about what's not working and what needs to be shifted to, you know, be part of the team, and then setting clear expectations.
Right.
But it's like with having grace. I loved your example that a football team practices something 25 times before they go and use it in a game. Mm-hmm. And yet we expect first time that people get it. There is absolutely a process. What it takes 21 days to establish a habit, 21 days of constant reinforcement every day to have it as be something that we just do. Mm-hmm. We need to put that kind of thinking in development. And at the same point in time, recognize when someone's not capable, either because they're not the right fit or they don't have the right skill set.
Right. You're exactly right. The other thing, obviously I'm a football analogy person, is that you don't coach a new concept in the middle of a game.
Right.
You don't teach something new in the middle of a game. You don't. It's nearly impossible to teach a new concept. However, pharmacy want to coach their team members in the middle of a game. We're always in the middle of a game, unless you huddle. If you don't meet, that's when your teaching happens, because it's easy to go, well, Patty, you could have done it this way, and you should have done it that way, and you should have those conversations as you go along, but you need to be able to reinforce that and not just say it one time quickly as things are going on, and then you're trying to grab the next patient and take care of them. If you're going to run if you're going to run a play 25 times to run in a game, and then all of a sudden you don't draw it up on a chalkboard at halftime and say, hey, let's go do this, you're really not going to coach in the middle of the game. And so I think sometimes our expectations are unrealistic. And I know that I've had them, and I have them, depending on the day, that my expectations are unrealistic. But you have to be able to step back and look at it and say, what's the best thing for the team member? What's the best thing for our pharmacy? And what's the best thing for the patient? And that could be that they move to a different position. It could be that they find another team. And the culture and time will figure that out.
Yeah, I love it, Jay. And I'm back to, you know, investing in your team is investing in your pharmacy, because an engaged team looks for the opportunities every day. They see opportunities for the pharmacy, growth opportunities, and they create the experience with your patients, and they see that's the paying attention and making recommendations based on the patient's needs. It's like you have to have that engaged team structure to go beyond transactions.
Yeah, I agree 100%. The pharmacy should run the same whether I'm in the building or not. And if you have them engaged, they will. If you go in and they're not making those recommendations that they should be doing, then do they not understand or not know? Have we not coached them well enough? Is the coordinator of that team, are they not leading them in the right direction? Is the coach not doing a great job of making sure they're there? Or do they not understand the concept? Are they struggling with that? Or can they not perform the task? You know, you can put me at quarterback all day long and I'm not going to do a great job. You can show me how to throw a pass all day long. You throw me the ball, let me run with it, I'm okay. But you know, don't put me in the wrong position. You got to find the right spot. The more engaged they are, then they're going to be doing those things, whether the leadership is there or not. They're going to find that. But it's to try to get the team to that point. And it's a long road. I don't want people to go, it's not that easy. No, it's not. It's not easy. It's a challenge. It's you have to be relentless, remain relentless, that relentlessly instilling that criteria and teaching people those values over and over and over, and you not holding yourself to that same level. You're going to have to hold yourself to that same expectations. And when you mess up, say, hey, I didn't handle that right. Here's what I should have done. I want to let y'all know. And when you do that, then it actually helps build that up. And they're more likely to trust you when they see that you don't think you're perfect. You realize that you're going to make mistakes too, and you're going to handle interactions wrong. And there's going to be opportunities you miss, but the expectation is that you're going to do that on, and then they'll hold themselves to that same standard.
Fabulous, Jay. And that's, you know, you talk about it being relentless. It's part of running any business is investing in your team. My argument is your team is the most important profit driver in your business. They're the ones having conversations every day. They're the ones interacting with your customers and your patients, setting them up to win and developing that culture. And as you said, developing your leadership that you create that culture, it's a constant focus. And yet, Jay, what would you say, you know, the outcomes of that is? Why is it of benefit for you? Why is it worth your attention for developing that culture and really being relentless in the reinforcement of it and development of it?
I think it goes back to our mission. Our mission is provide exceptional patient care. Pharmacy doctor provided patient care. And if you are passionately and relentlessly pursuing that patient care and that excellence, then what you will get when you have that team engaged and they're doing that is they will provide great care, which ultimately helps us as a business owner on the bottom line. If they're providing great care, patients will be satisfied. They'll come back. They'll tell their family. They'll tell their friends, and it helps the business. So to me, the goal is provide great care. And while in the process, you're going to do good financially. People that are looking for just to making money, to me, they've got their own motivation. I think you got to know what your mission is. And our mission is to provide exceptional patient care. And if you do that and your whole team does that, then the money will work itself out. The finances will be there. And so if you invest in your team, then they will invest in the business, which will give you multiple times rewards in the long run.
Fabulous, Jay. So first of all, I just want to say thank you for being willing to share your experience, wisdom with us. Of course, we were talking about chapter 3 of the Absolutions book, which is the wisdom and experience in your business. And, you know, literally turning that on. So you see the advantage in your marketplace, with your patients, and with your team. Jay, any last thoughts that you would like to share with us as we wrap up?
I would tell the team, the listeners, to make sure that they find their purpose. You know, my purpose, I believe, is to provide excellent patient care, as well as most pharmacy owners probably have a similar mission, and passionately and relentlessly pursue that purpose. And so to do that, You're gonna do an outstanding job. You have to remain relentless and be, you know, build your team. They'll help build you up, and together you'll be successful. So remain passionate and relentless every day.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing and being willing to be on the Pharmacy Success Strategy Series. And everyone, stay tuned. Our next episode is on the Absolution Recipe, which is literally looking at what are the easy 4 steps to always be focused on what Jay talks about, paying attention to the patient needs.